BigTalkRadio.com.
Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is TNA Superstar EC3.
Hey, this is Adam Copeland, a.k.a. the Rated R Superstar.
This is WWE Superstar The Miz.
The greatest man that ever lived, always liked a good rap. And you're listening to the greatest rap.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
Did someone not get what they wanted? Oh, that's too bad.
Bada boom! Realest guys in the world. How you do?
It can be anyone but you, man. Anyone but you. To the rest of the world, say your prayers. Lock your doors. The family has returned. Right?
With your host,
Dear Kitty.
Got to say please.
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh my god, it's Taker. Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my god, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
Now I've heard it said a few times by a couple of different people that maybe I have a big ego. As good as I am, I should have the biggest ego on the planet. Hell, after all, I am that damn good.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
We're here.
Read the words that are written in faces. Oh, I believe them, I believe.
It's a shameful thing to bust your head. A careless man who could wind up dead. You'll wear your sin like it's some kind of prize. Too many lies, too many lies. Oh.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Get your Guinness, get your whiskey, get your favorite alcoholic beverage, and if you're under 21, get your favorite non-alcoholic beverage, because it is the St. Patrick's Day special. I miss Lobsterhead so much, it's so much better than his current theme. I am your host, Lindsay Ward, and joining me, as always, is my ever-faithful producer, slash handyman, slash co-host, Sir Rockin'.
I was going to say, if you're underage, just grab your lobster head.
But dude, they're underage. They shouldn't be playing with lobster head.
You know, the moment I said it and I turned it into a thing that shouldn't have been turned into, and then you just had to just throw it out there. Okay,
You're going to throw me a softball. I'm going to hit it out of the park. I'm just saying. I mean, you know.
So are you going to hit it out of the park in Kentucky or Cincinnati?
Well, the ball field's in Cincinnati, so I'll hit it out of the park in Cincinnati.
Oh, okay. By the way, you can join us on the conversation at Wild Talk Radio, at Rack Radio Show, at Lindsay Ward on Twitter. Come to Gerwick.net or come to WildTalkRadio.com, the all-new WildTalkRadio.com and RackRadioShow.com.
Also, check out our fine friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays, YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. We have a big show for you tonight. We are talking news. We have NXT. We're going to let you know about surprise arrivals at NXT because finally it happened. We're talking Roadblock. We'll give you our thoughts and opinions and break down the Pick'em Challenge. And yes, we're even talking a little Roman Reigns on this show. So I don't want to waste any time. I say we jump right into the news brought to you by our friends over at PWMania.com and TNAsylum.net, the haven for TNA fans. And we have breaking news as of today.
Yes, we do. According to TMZ.com, due to a numerous doctor's opinions about his neck, the current or soon-to-be WWE Hall of Famer Sting is going to officially retire.
First of all, congratulations on an amazing career. Thank you for everything, Sting. We love you for it. Second of all, good call.
It was the only call.
I know. Well, it wasn't, because there are some wrestlers out there that would ignore doctors and would go back to wrestling despite an injury like that. That's the thing. That's the scary thing about this, is there are some people who think they're smarter than doctors and like, oh, well, it's really not that bad and I feel fine and I'm going to go back out and wrestle. So thankfully, Sting listened to his doctors and decided to retire, because there are some companies that would let them wrestle too.
If he was 25... he would come back and wrestle.
Oh, I know he would.
He's 50-something. He's not coming back to wrestle.
Thank God for age.
Thank God for Age. He basically has the injury that put Stone Cold Steve Austin on the shelf and Edge on the shelf. So it's sort of like there's a past history with this injury, mainly with Edge, where he, one day, okay, I can wrestle, next day, you can't.
Yeah.
So it's like sort of like, okay, if this was a once-in-a-lifetime injury you see on, just on one person, like maybe you consider coming back and you test it. But when there's people who've had this injury before you, kind of weighs on you like, well, I saw what happened to them. I don't want to be, I don't want that to happen. And he has kids, and I would assume he doesn't want to get any further damage done to his body that, you know, for the most part, he's been injury free. He's had a shoulder injury, but that's about it. He's never had a really serious major injury. So it's like, okay, this is the injury. He went out fighting the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. He's going into the Hall of Fame. I assume that's where he'll announce it officially. Because that would be the smart place to do it. It would be the great send-off for him.
I would say either at the Hall of Fame or at the next night at WrestleMania, and he retires at WrestleMania.
But yeah, he'll probably be retiring this at WrestleMania weekend, which is the appropriate weekend for such an event. Because, let's face it, he's not going to go work for an indie wrestling federation at this point. He's not going back to TNA. The only place he would work is WWE, and they're very strict on the injuries. And if there's any sign of you could get hurt, we're not going to put you in the ring. Especially a guy his age. Because yeah. Jerry Lawler is the key to all of that. Because of his heart attack on national television, they're not letting people of a certain age back in a ring after you suffer an injury.
Yeah, it's them being protective of the talent. It's them being protective of themselves. They don't want anything to happen to anybody. They care about their talent. They care about their bottom line, because let's be realistic, it is also about their bottom line. But mainly they care about their talent. They don't want anything to happen to them. And so it's just them trying to protect everybody, which is a smart move. And I have to applaud WWE for that, for making sure that their talents stay safe. And I have to applaud Sting for making a very difficult decision, because you know that's hard.
Oh, yeah, it's a very hard decision. And he's probably been weighing all the options for the last, since September? So it's been a while. So he's probably heard from numerous doctors. They've told him what the deal is. And he's probably just sort of came to the decision, okay, I hear what they're saying. It's time for me to settle down and sort of just rest my body. Because he's been through a lot in his career. And it's like, okay. He got in his WWE run. He got to work WrestleMania last year. He got to fight the WWE World Heavyweight Champion this year. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, hats off to him. Congratulations, Sting. Well-deserved retirement. Wish you luck. And I'm sure he's not off WWE TV. I'm sure he can come back and do non-wrestling appearances, but in terms of wrestling, he's done.
Oh yeah, without question, he's done.
So, once again, congratulations. I'm doing the captain salute. You can't see it.
Can't see it, but she's doing it.
Speaking of the Hall of Fame, because we have to talk about it, the next inductee in the Hall of Fame has been announced. I'm incredibly excited about this because it's a long time coming. It's well deserved. Why the hell haven't you done it sooner? It was announced that Jacqueline is going into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, this one, you're overly excited about this one because you remember her from the end of the Attitude Era, I guess is the best way to phrase it.
She and Ivory are two of my two favorite female wrestlers of all time, because they were there when I first started watching, and especially Jacqueline, because Jacqueline's just a spitfire of a woman, and she's beautiful, and she's tough, and she's badass, and she beat the crap out of people and look good while doing it. And I love her personality, because she's just there's something about her that draws me to her. And given all the accolades in her career, I can't even list them all.
Right.
But she's had a lot of accomplishments that she's kind of, it feels like, been overlooked. And Ivory as well. I think a lot of the girls from that time are sort of being overlooked. Because it's like, yeah, okay, we'll get to them. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's girls like Lita and girls like Trish, absolutely, yes, they should be going into the Hall of Fame for everything that they've done in their careers, but it just feels like that, well, what about Luna Vachon, and what about Jacqueline, and what about Ivory, and even what about Chyna? I know she's a hot mess, but what about Chyna?
Right.
For all she did.
And when you look at Jacqueline, she wasn't afraid to get in there with the guys.
No, she was not. She, like I said, she's this little spitfire and a badass, and I'm excited. I am super excited to see her go into the Hall of Fame. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, I would agree. It should be a lot of fun.
So, congratulations to Jacqueline. Again, well-deserved. Go, girl, go.
Go, girl, go. Okay, we'll go with that. I can't add anything to that.
Girl power. Yeah! Because this is, you know, female-hosted show. I get a little excited over the girls. Sorry! And also, for the Hall of Fame, a permanent Hall of Fame is not happening. The space has been reserved for what? And nothing. A chocolate factory, I think you said it was last night? Yes? No? Maybe? Oh, okay. So, for everybody, permanent Hall of Fame in Florida, it's not happening. It's been, the space has been taken by another property. It's going to be a chocolate factory. I don't remember the exact name of it. So, a bit of a bummer there in terms of not having a permanent Hall of Fame in Orlando, Florida, especially with WrestleMania going to Florida next year, but they'll still have a great display, I'm sure, at Access.
The Toothsome Chocolate Factory. Sorry about
that. The Toothsome?
Yes. Toothsome Chocolate Factory.
Like Toothsome?
Yes.
Toothsome. That's weird.
I don't make up the name. I just copy and paste them from what I read.
Are you a copy and paster?
Into our run sheet.
So yeah, major bummer there, but I'm sure WWE will figure it out, and hopefully one day there will actually be a permanent WWE Hall of Fame to honor all the amazing inductees and the not-so-amazing inductees.
Who are you? Who are you saying is an amazing inductee? Are you saying Drew Carey is not a valid Hall of Famer?
Yes.
Okay.
That's exactly what I am saying.
Okay, I agree with you.
Because honestly, you appear at WrestleMania and you get to go in the Hall of Fame. Dude, where is my induction? The Rack did Mania 4 years ago. 5 years ago.
Really? Really?
Actually, longer than that. I think it was closer to...
No, you're right. 27. 5 years ago.
5 years ago? Okay. Yeah, because it's however... Because I was at the WrestleMania that The Miz defended the title.
You mean the Miz main event of WrestleMania, you were there?
The time Miz main evented WrestleMania, I was there. I was there to see The Miz beat John Cena.
You can validate his appearance in the main event of WrestleMania.
I can validate that. Actually, that was a really fun show. I got to see Taker. Taker. Yes, Taker. That was a bucket list. Right there. Anyway,
I got nothing.
I got nothing after that. I don't really have a good transition for this, so we're going to talk about it. Oh, here we go. Speaking of Hall of Famers, there it is. Mick Foley announced that he and his daughter, Noelle, are getting their own show on the WWE Network.
Yeah, they've filmed the pilot, and it's been picked up by the WWE Network. It's a comedy show of some sort. So Mick Foley is coming to the WWE Network, probably on the same vein of the Edge and Christian show, where they like to take shots.
Oh my god, do Edge and Christian like to take shots? Holy crap.
Just go watch it, that's all I gotta say.
Yeah, go watch it. It's kind of amazing.
Yeah, that's all I gotta say about it. It's amazing.
So, I say we do our Blame Brents.
Yeah, let's get into that injury roundup.
Bones breaking, backs cracking, shoulders snapping. It's this week's injury roundup.
Oh, we have a list this week.
Now, before we get into our list, we have this.
Hashtag blame Brent.
Side effects include broken bones, sprained ankles, stubbed toes, and no days off.
Hashtag blame Brent.
That's the sounder you should have played.
What do you mean? We're playing both.
We're playing both? Okay.
One introduces the segment, and then it's the sounder for the things.
I say you play that at the end.
What?
The hashtag blame Brent.
Okay. No, I'm going to play it after every injury.
No!
Yes!
Oh my god, dude, that's gonna... What if we have a list of 20 people? You're gonna play it 20 times?
You know, I do it every Saturday night, midnight-ish.
Oh my god.
I play the short version after every injury.
Thank god.
Not the long one.
Okay, well, we need to talk about the biggest injury of the week. It's the most unfortunate. It's absolutely heartbreaking because the cameras were there, they got his reaction to it, and basically Adrian Neville broke his ankle and his shin on Monday Night Raw, and the poor little elf man had to get the heartbreaking news that 3 weeks from his very first WrestleMania, he is not going to be able to participate.
Yeah, that sucks.
It really sucks, because he asks the trainers, you know, do you think it's broken? And the trainer just goes, yep. And he just lays back and covers his face, and that's the moment that you just go, oh! No!
Yeah. Yeah.
That sucks.
That really sucks, honestly.
Because you know he was excited. You know he was looking forward to it. And if they were going to do the ladder match, you know he was going to be in it. And now, nothing. He's on the shelf for 6 to 8 weeks. Something like that, maybe. Possibly. He's ignoring me again. But luckily for Adrian, surgery is not required, so he can just go home, rest up, heal up, do his rehab, and come back. So it should hopefully be a quicker recovery for him than normal.
3 months. I was looking it up. 3 months.
Oh, 3 months? Okay, so he'll be gone 3 months, so he'll be back in the summer, just in time for SummerSlam.
Yeah, no surgery. Yeah, I was looking it up on WWE.com. It's 3 months from this point. That's very good. No surgery. That's the big thing. No yep. surgery for Mr. Neville. But yeah, that was a heartbreaking moment. It's like, oh, dude. And it was a baseball slide. A movie's done it 1,000 times. It's not a high-risky flippy flap. It was the baseball slide.
Well, it's like Seth Rollins. He did the flip, the sunset flip down off the top rope when he was wrestling Kane, and it's a movie's done 1,000 times. And he just landed wrong. And yeah. he tore his ACL.
Yeah, for Neville, his I guess his boot, the leather of the boot caught on the mat and just sort of... Okay. Yep. So that was our first.
Hashtag blame Brent.
I love the sounder.
I know you do.
Who's next?
So we have to talk, speaking of Monday Night Raw, we're just going to continue on this chain because 3 of these happened at Monday Night Raw. Hunter required staples after his brawl with Roman Reigns.
That was very unfortunate, but it was an injury nonetheless, which means it's a...
Hashtag blame Brent.
And... In that said brawl, Brent got another person purely by accident when Roman Reigns threw one of the production cases at Hunter. It seems it got deflected and it hit poor Dan... What's his name?
Dan...
Stevens? Is that
Dan,
it? No,
Dan,
no,
Dan Angle. Dan Angle.
Dan Angle, a.k.a.
Angler.
Rudy Charles.
Yeah, Dan Angler, I should say.
Angler. Angler. Dan Angler, there we go. A.k.a. Rudy Charles. In the ankle, and he was required to have stitches.
Hashtag blame Brent.
And the last one. The last one where, Brent, you are dead to me for this. Do you hear me? You are blame robbed for this. You are in so much trouble right now.
You mean he's,
Hashtag blame Rob.
Yes, exactly. He is exactly that, because Brent got boo-boo. Okay, if you don't know who boo-boo is, if this is your very first time listening to the show, that is my pet name for Bray Wyatt, because I adore Bray Wyatt. He has a pet name. That's what happens when I attach to a wrestler.
Just accept it, that's all.
That, yeah, just accept it. And Bray, if you ever listen to this show, your name is boo-boo now. Just.
I think he's okay with it.
You think he's okay with it?
I think he'll be okay with it.
You think he'll be manly enough about it?
I wouldn't go that far.
Well, I mean, it's a manly nickname.
Hey, boo-boo.
He could be called what I call Taker.
Okay, this is a very good point.
Taker is called Fuzzy.
Yes.
So...
Though he's now not as fuzzy as he once was.
No, he's more fluffy again, but fluffy is not manly. Fuzzy is more manly, so we go with Fuzzy.
Right, exactly. But anyway, so... What happened with Bray Wyatt?
Thankfully, Bray Wyatt's injury is not serious. It seems that his back is in really bad shape, maybe because he's been going through tables for over a year.
Alright, before you continue. Yeah, he goes through tables every single weekend. People wonder, oh, he has a back injury. I wonder why. I don't know. Going through a table, being chokeslammed by a 300-pounder for weeks? I don't know.
Kendo sticks, cage matches.
You have Dean Ambrose flying on top of you through a table for about 6 months at one point. Yeah. Yeah.
And also, let's not forget that several of his moves are him going back first into something. Whether it's the senton, whether it's the where he just flings his body at someone, shots into the steel steps. I mean, yeah, he's done his fair share of stuff to his back, and it's just... It's reached a point where it's bothering him that he can't wrestle. It's either tightened up or it's just very sore and he's having difficulty working. So WWE has pulled back on him for right now. That's why the match got changed for Roadblock. Instead of it being Bray Wyatt versus Brock Lesnar, it became the Wyatt family, aka Luke Harper versus Brock Lesnar. Bray and Brock did not touch. Thankfully, and Bray has sort of is being kept out of the ring right now. There's no indication of what he's doing at Mania. It seems to be something big, as WWE supposedly has huge plans for him in the summer, and they're not deviating. So it could be that his back just needs a rest.
And according to him, he's doing something wicked.
Boy, you better back that up.
Is he going to Oz?
He's going to Oz. He's going to hop on his broomstick and he's going to go to Oz. That's it. But that wraps up your Blame Brents.
Hold on.
Hashtag Blame Brent.
There you go. Coming out of the Blame Brents, couple quick notes. Heyman Hustle has inked a deal with Yahoo Sports where they're going to be creating wrestling type content for a podcast setting. Or no, I'm sorry, for a blog setting.
A turnstile blog.
Should be fun.
Biggest deal for Heyman Hustle so far. He's all excited.
Go, Heyman, go.
Yes.
The V Foundation, that's V's and Victor and Connor Secure, are going to be teaming up this year to help raise money for awareness for childhood cancer.
Pediatric cancer, yeah. The National Partnership to Fight Pediatric Cancer, the V Foundation, which many people, if you know, if you watch ESPN during the summer, around the ESPY time, they do the whole charity thing for it. And they've teamed up with that organization to help fight pediatric cancer. That's a big, big launching, big partnership for them.
So congratulations to both of them.
Yes, that should be good. That should be good awareness for Connor's Cure and the V Foundation and pediatric cancer in general.
Yeah, because it's a horrible, horrible thing and it needs to end. All cancer needs to die a horrible, horrible death.
Yeah.
Because F cancer.
Yeah.
In the immortal words of JSK, fuck cancer.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Just saying.
Quick note on TNA, brought to you by our friends over at TNAsylum.net. A big congratulations to Drew Galloway as he cashed in his briefcase in the Feast or Fire tournament. And he is your new TNA World Heavyweight Champion. It's a long time coming for him. I know he's super excited. He had a bit of travel trouble, so he almost didn't make it. Good thing he did.
Good thing he made it, and he did cash in the Feast or Fire briefcase that he won a few months ago.
Yeah, called the right thing.
It was... Freudian slip on that one. No, he cashed it in two nights ago on Impact on Pop TV. Cool moment. Matt Hardy thought he had his, you know, they beat up Ethan Carter III and got Jeff Hardy out of there. He's like, all right, I'm going to walk out here world champion. He's walking up the ramp. And Drew Galloway comes down with the briefcase in hand, throws him in the ring, cashes in, and becomes the world heavyweight champion. Cool moment for Drew Galloway as he's now the face of Impact Wrestling.
Go, Drew, go. Very proud of you. As I said, a long time coming.
A very long time coming. I think that's all the news we got, right?
No.
Oh, no, before we get to that. I have a news story I have to throw out there for people. If you're in the Chicago area, go out and see a former guest of this show, Michael Kingston. He's going to be at the C2E2 convention, comic book series convention, this weekend. Go out, see him. Say hi. Cool.
Yeah. Go support Michael Kingston. He's amazing. His comic book Headlock is amazing. Headlocked, I should say, is amazing. Go check it out. It's awesome.
He'll be at the booth 1631 Friday, March 18th through Sunday, March 20th. He'll also be leading a panel on Friday at 6:30 p.m. in room S401, where he'll be joined by Foley, Ken Anderson, and Chicago's own Jill Thompson.
Not a bad group of people.
No, it's not. He'll be discussing Kingston's new book, Pro Wrestling and All Things Comic, announcing the launch of his new Headlock campaign, which you go support right now. Thanks to our pal Mark for passing along that information.
Yes, thanks to Mark.
There you go. I had to slip that in there. So, we're good.
We're good?
Now let's talk about that thing.
Okay. So we have to talk about this thing, by the way, if you're just joining us, you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, where we're still in our long news segment this week, and we are getting ready to discuss a rather interesting trailer debut, and that is for Countdown, starring WWE superstars Dolph Ziggler and Kane.
Do we want to play the audio of this?
No, we do not want to play the audio of this.
Are you sure?
Yes, I am positive.
Okay.
One, because it's too long.
It's a minute.
It needs to be visual.
This is true. Go to youtube.com/WWEFanNation. It's up there.
Yeah, if you have not seen this trailer, just go watch it. Just, okay. This is not, before I get into this, a shot at Kane, a shot at Ziggler. They're fine. The fact that Kane is playing a cranky cop is amazing. And he looks really good in the uniform. Just have to throw that out there. I'm a chick. What do you want from me? But premise of the movie, even by WWE movie standards, is a little ridiculous. Just Just a smidge.
A little bit, a little bit, a little time bit. Because it's cops.
Which they always do, so that's okay.
And then I guess the plot is they have to save someone who was at, as now a WWE event.
The plot is that there's a guy that's kidnapped a little boy, and he strapped a bomb to his chest, and he takes the kid to a WWE event of all places, and Kane and Ziggler and the crew are trying to find the little boy before the guy detonates the vest. The villain detonates the vest and kills a bunch of people. Including the little kid. That's the premise. What all of that I can buy, except he takes him to a WWE event. What was I saying on the Rec Extra? This sounds like bad fan fiction.
This sounds like bad fan fiction.
This sounds like bad fan fiction. It really does, because I asked Rock when I was sitting there watching it. So wait, if they go to a WWE live event, does that mean Kane's going to be playing Kane, the director of operations, and Cranky Cop Dude? Because I would actually pay money for that ridiculousness. I would actually pay money to see Kane in a suit and Kane in a cop suit or uniform standing there having a conversation with each other. It would just be magical to me just for the sheer craziness of it.
Yeah. It's one of those movies where it's like there's every part of you that doesn't want to see it, and then there's this one part of you that's really curious to see what it's all about.
There's one part of me that wants to get really drunk and watch it. Like, insanely drunk. And watch it.
Right.
But I'm slightly disappointed with this movie because it's ultra serious, and the fact that they missed out on doing a buddy cop drama or buddy cop movie with Ziggler and Kane disappoints me highly. I think I said this when we announced that they were going to be making the film. This should have been buddy cop. Especially if they're going to a WWE live event, because the fodder in this is just, it's there. It's gold. It's a natural setup, and they're not going to do it, and it makes me so sad. I think Rusev has a gun in it.
For some reason.
Okay, this was the other thing I meant to bring up to you, and I forgot to do it. Was the guys are Eastern European?
Mm-hmm.
Russian.
Okay, you take some liberties in film.
And so they're seeking revenge against Ziggler and Kane because they killed the first bad guy in the trailer and he swears revenge. And now the other bad guys are coming after them. And well, apparently Rusev, I guess, is tied to the bad guys, Rusev and Lana. So Rusev is an undercover bad guy / wrestler.
Like when I saw this, it's like I saw the clip of the Ascension. I was like, wait, what? Why are they in this movie? What the hell is this? Was this a fan-made thing? No, it's a real thing. Okay. All right, then.
I want some damn Wyatts in this movie.
You may get them. By the way.
I may get them.
You never know. Okay. So, things have happened, and we're about to go to break. Apparently, in Mexico, there's a restaurant called John Cena Burger and Taco.
I want to go there. I've seen pictures. I want to go there.
You've seen it?
Yeah.
It exists.
They have a Undertaker burrito, I think.
Mm-hmm. They do. It's a thing.
Because Mexico.
There's
a place in, I think it's either India or Japan, that they use WWE superstars in their advertising.
Of course they do. Of course they do.
Which is hilarious.
It is. It really, really is. But now that we've told everyone about John Cena burger and taco, I say we go to break.
I say we go to break. So when we come back, we're going to be switching things up a little bit, and we're going to have a very probably long-winded, winding, tangent-filled discussion all about Roman Reigns, including, well, WWE has a problem. Can it be fixed? So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
I didn't just make headlines last night. I turned the WWE Universe upside down.
to the shocking moment.
The last time you and I together, we were in Brooklyn on Monday Night Raw with me, you, Rusev. Remember that? That was an amazing night. And then remember, you came to my hotel room and surprised me that night. Yeah, that was crazy. Remember that? And you told me you didn't want to be with Rusev anymore. You said he was big, he was hairy, he smelled like rotten testicles. And we did those special exercises. You showed me how to do the one-legged Russian vacuum. Yes! Remember I showed you how to do the Wisconsin wheelbarrow? Hey, we were just talking about you, kinda. You guys still together? I heard you broke up.
We're actually engaged to be married.
You engaged to be married? Mazel! That's fantastic news! You got a hell of a woman here. She's flexible as all hell. Whoa! I mean, it's amazing!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
My name is Bo, and I'm here to say Flo Rida's disrespectful in a major way. You sucker punched my friend in WrestleMania 28, but I'd be upset too if I was named after this awful stain.
Oh, you got it!
You need to channel your negativity in a more productive manner. You hold an ace high, but I have a full house. Like, my name is Danny Tanner.
Oh! Oh.
Bo! Please!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Mr. Money in the Bank, the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins, and you are listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
Right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to YouTube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs, and also the fine folks over at GirlWork.net. Hello if you're listening to us there, and hello if you're listening to us at WildTalkRadio.com.
The all-new WildTalkRadio.com.
Yes, he worked very hard on it. It's shiny, it's pretty, it's new.
Ooh. Anyway.
As I swallowed the cookie that I had in my mouth. So, now we're going to kind of switch it up. Normally we would talk about NXT here, but there's a topic that's on our mind that kind of spurred from Monday night and really from wrestling fans in general that we wanted to jump into this week. And so we moved it up to the second segment because, well, we can. We're the hosts. We can do that.
We do what we want when we want, and you can't tell us any different.
So
professionalism right here. Right here. Right here.
We are the reason no one can have nice things on this network.
Bam. Anyway.
Right here. Right. Bringing the network down, man. Bringing the network down. No, so we were talking about it, Roman Reigns and the fan reaction to Roman Reigns. And I've seen a lot of articles regarding him and how basically WWE has a problem with him. And all their articles are correct. WWE does have a problem with Roman Reigns, where for everything that they have done for him to get him over, he should, by logic, be over. But he's not. They are throwing him in really the ultimate storyline, which is with the McMahons. Vince, in particular, like, if you get a storyline with Vince McMahon, they got nothing left.
It's make it or break it.
It's make it or break it for him at this point, because they're doing everything they can, and he's not getting over. Case in point, Monday night. Roman Reigns has been gone for about 2 to 3 weeks due to a nose injury where he had a deviated septum and he had to have surgery. So they played it up. They wrote him off TV for a couple weeks so he could heal up. Roman Reigns makes his triumphant return.
Hold on. Hold on. Before you get there, not only did they beat him up, then they had them go after his best friend, Dean Ambrose. And they beat Dean Ambrose at Roblox. So, you know, Roman Reigns could be coming back to Monday Night Raw looking for revenge. Not just for the broken nose, but for beating his boy at Roblox.
So, Roman Reigns makes his return. Nothing. And to be fair, Pittsburgh is not an overly hot crowd. And there were people cheering for him, especially that one fangirl in the front row. Girl, you do you. Props. But everybody else pretty much in that arena either didn't react.
Or booed him out of that damn building. And they booed him out of that damn building.
Now, keep in mind, this is supposed to be your top babyface. He's making his triumphant return. He's pissed as hell. He's beating the crap out of Hunter. They took it all over the arena. Stuff was getting thrown. People had to get stitches. Roman was pissed. Jamie Noble and IRS got involved. I mean, just, they booked this absolutely 100% perfectly. And it was 100% not effective. That is not what you want 3 weeks out from WrestleMania.
No, it's not, because they did. For the last month, they've done everything they could correctly with him. In fact, they've been booking him decently for the most part since he won the WWE title back in December. In fact, it started at TLC when he first laid out the Triple H, and the fans did cheer him that night. He got the cheers, and he got the cheers when he went up against Vince McMahon the next night. He got the cheers. And then it slowly started to fade away. He got his moment, he won the title, and then for the first week they were cheering him, and then it sort of slowly went away. Became more of a mix again. And Monday, it just sort of, like, they did everything perfectly from a storyline standpoint. You have the evil authority beat down the number one babyface. The number one babyface should be coming back for revenge, which he did. He got his revenge. He bloodied the champion, and he sent him packing. Everything booked correctly. And it left us going, why are you booing? What in that situation did he do wrong? And the idea of, oh, he's being shoved down our throats. Where is he being shoved? I want to know, honestly, where is he being shoved? How is he being shoved? Is he through every segment on the show?
If he's being shoved down our throats, he would be New Day.
Because New Day, for a few weeks, was being shoved down our throats. They were. As much as everyone loves the New Day, it was overkill for a few weeks.
It was. It seriously was.
But that withstanding, it's like, he being shoved down the throat is, he's all over your television, he's John Cena. But Roman Reigns is a character on the television show, and he gets his couple segments of show, beginning and end. Okay, there's 3 hours in between. He's, you know, not on every segment. He's not being shoved down our throat. Is it because he's being granted the WWE Championship? He earned the WWE Championship match and is going to WrestleMania? Is that the problem? If he was challenging for the... There was no groundswell, was like, when if he was challenging for the championship any other night. In fact, people were okay with him challenging Seth Rollins for the championship back in November. What's different now?
A better option has presented itself, and that better option is Dean Ambrose.
But hasn't that option always been there, though?
That option has always been there, but I think the groundswell's happening for Dean, because they're both kind of booking Dean and Roman the same, where they're both booking them as really the underdog against the authority. The only difference is Dean works. Because Dean is really a very classic underdog character. You don't buy Roman as an underdog because he doesn't look like one. He looks like a badass. He looks like he should be ripping people in half. But he's not being booked like that. Monday night was really the first time that you saw Roman Reigns get angry and get upset and rip someone apart like he did.
Which was a long time coming. He needed to do that.
Oh God, he needed to do that. And this is not meant to complain about Roman or rip Roman or anything like that. I like Roman. I think he's a nice guy. I think he's a good guy. But there are problems there.
And I'm not faulting Roman at this point.
No, it's not Roman's fault. It's beyond Roman's fault. I think Roman is legit trying to do everything he can to make this work. Roman understands his faults, and he's trying to improve.
I felt really we talked about this Monday. I felt really bad for Roman Reigns on Monday Night Raw. And that's the last reaction you should get from that segment. You should not feel bad for a guy who's coming out as a badass assassin kicking ass. You shouldn't feel bad for that guy. But I just watched him and he's beating up Triple H and the fans just crab all over. It's like, I felt really, really bad, and that's not the emotion you should get out of that. I want to cheer him on and go, yay, kick his ass, yay, do it. But I just sat there going, cool, you're kicking his ass. But I feel really bad because those fans are not giving you the moment that you deserve. And I know in 17 days, it's going to be the same thing.
And that's really unfortunate for everybody involved in this, because you know WWE is scratching their heads on this, because they take Roman to most other cities. When he goes to house shows, he gets cheered. He's over at house shows, mainly because the house shows are full of the families, of the kids. He's over with the little kids, which is what you want, because they'll follow him probably his whole career if they stay with wrestling, and they'll buy his stuff and they'll support him. And the families are the ones that are spending the money. So that's who they're really trying to appeal to. So it's like, okay, well, Roman appeals to the kids. He's a superhero, kind of like John Cena. So let's push Roman because that's where the money is. And the problem is that when they go to TV, the kids aren't at TV because it's generally a school night. So they don't go. So the adults are there. And Roman's not over with the adults because everybody kind of looks at him and they're like, oh yeah, he's just, yeah, no. And the interesting thing is I don't even know why people go no at this point. We asked why, and we got actually a couple legit answers, which I respect those answers. But for the most part, it's most people just can't tell you why. They're just like, oh, he sucks. Well, that's not a legit answer. Why does he suck?
Other people have worked harder. Really?
Really? How hard do you think he's worked? And just because he's a, what, third generation? People think he rested on that? He went through the same training program that Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins did. Sure, he didn't come up through the indies.
But there are a lot of people who don't come up from the indies.
Neither did Charlotte.
Right. Is it earning it, or is it longevity, or working hard? What's your problem? Like, no one wants, when you ask the question, they can't defend themselves. And that's, like, so why are you billing? What's the problem? There was a couple of the answers, basically, that we thought were interesting were, you know, because he's very inconsistent. Which is true. The Roman Reigns character is very inconsistent, and I can see why you don't want to support it if you can't get behind it. We've said on the show, the character is hard to get behind. We want to believe in Roman Reigns, but it's hard to because he's very inconsistent. But lately, they've been, for the best way to put it, even though we can't fully connect with Roman from a story standpoint, they were doing the right thing. They don't always do the right thing with him. But they've been telling the right story. And for everything else, when it comes to wrestling, if they tell a good story, I'm in. I may not be the biggest fan of the dude, but if you're telling the right story, I'll buy into the story. And I was buying into the story because they were telling the right one.
Yeah, it's something of if Roman Reigns, like I said, he's a nice guy. He's a likable guy.
Oh, yeah.
When he's not on TV, he's a good person. You can tell that. He's a very, very good person, and you appreciate him for that. Where I struggle to connect with him is I think I have an issue with the inconsistencies, where he's either this badass assassin or he's this goofball, and there's nothing in between. And it's just, it's almost like they're writing him like they would John Cena, where he's ultimately never really truly serious. He plays it off. And there's just certain reactions to certain things where it's, well, you really shouldn't be playing that off. You really should be getting upset at it, or you should be getting angry, or you shouldn't be laughing at it. And so it's partially the way that he's booked, but also it's just, I want to know why he's doing what he's doing. I want to know why he's fighting for this, other than he wants the WWE Championship. It's like Kevin Owens. Okay, Kevin Owens is one of your top heels in the company. He's a complete a-hole to everybody. But you know why he's fighting for that. You know why he's fighting. You know why he's there. He's there to support his family. He's there to support his wife and his kids and put food on the table for them. That's why he's there. He's made that abundantly clear. And also, he does this because he loves it. Dean Ambrose, we know why he's there. He's there for the money.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Because he loves the business.
Very much so.
You know, a lot of the WWE superstars, we have a reason as to why they're there, what their purpose is, and what they want to achieve, but there's also a passion and a love, and I think for me, for Roman, I know he loves the business because he wouldn't be doing this if he didn't love it, to a degree. But I don't see that same passion exuding from him. I don't see that same desire exuding from him because it's just very muted. I know it's there, but it's just his personality is such that it's a very muted desire, very muted passion. And also, I don't know why the hell he's there.
We believe it's for his family. He fights for his daughter, which is great. And when he tries to cut the promo about it, because he did it when he was shooting with Bray Wyatt, he cut the passionate promo. And you just listen to him talk. It's like, you're scripted. There's no emotion here. Let your emotions hang out. Show us what you're feeling. Give us that raw emotion. And I think that's part of the problem with connecting with him is he has a hard time showing emotion. One day we saw some of it. We saw anger, which is the first time we've really seen anger. But what other emotions can you deliver? And he's very straight-faced when he talks. So you can't get a good read on who he is.
And I mean, he tends to relax more when he's with a group or he's with somebody else. Like when he's with Dean Ambrose, he relaxes a little bit. He kind of comes out of himself a little bit. And he's a little better because he can play off Dean. And Dean just has that very natural sort of swagger to him where he walks out and he's just very calm. He's very relaxed. He does his thing. And it's easy to work with. So Roman, when he gets with someone that kind of can do that, he relaxes a little bit. But when he's on his own, it's not so much.
But when he's with Dean, he's not serious. He's laid back. He's joking. Great. And that's sort of the disconnect for some people is that's the inconsistency. He comes out by himself. He's serious. With Dean, he's you know, very lighthearted. He jokes around, etc., etc. It's inconsistencies with the character that sort of make it hard to connect with. And again, inconsistency is one thing, but when a show tells the story, I don't understand the boo, and that's still where I'm struggling with this one. Correct story, why the boo?
I think it's one of those things where, like, let's go Cena sucks. It's become popular to boo Roman Reigns because it's gotten out that Roman Reigns is the selected successor and he's going to be the next top guy in WWE and he's being given the keys to the kingdom. And there are other people, I think, that feel that certain wrestlers deserve it more than Roman, which that's their opinion. They're completely entitled to it and I respect their opinion, but who are they to make that choice? WWE sees money in Roman Reigns. They have to go with the person that they feel is one going to last the longest. If they're going to put them in that position, and to someone that they know they can trust, that isn't going to have any type of real major PR snafus, if they're going to make them the face of their company.
Right.
So, you know, case in point, Seth Rollins. It wasn't his fault, but his dick got blasted all over the internet.
Yes,
because
it
was a sleazebag and he fucked around on his girlfriend.
Yes.
So you have that looming out in the atmosphere somewhere. So it's like, okay, yeah, Seth Rollins. Yeah, you know, the nude photos thing. Yeah, I don't know about that. That's not very PG. Okay, yeah, maybe we gotta think about that. Dean Ambrose, who the hell knows?
Roman Reigns, he's straightforward. He's perfect PR-wise.
He's perfect PR-wise. And I think also there's a willingness from Roman to want to be the face of the company. I don't know if Dean Ambrose really wants to be the face. I don't know if he wants to take the time to dedicate to the company to do all the PR appearances and go to travel across the country and do all the things that the champion does. Because it's a lot of extra work. And you really don't reap much benefit from it.
Well, you do and you don't.
You do and you don't. I mean, financially, I'm sure you do, but you lose your time. You lose your time off. You lose your time with your family. You're taking that further step into the business where it's you're making that sacrifice because you are now the face of WWE. You have to represent them at everything that they say you have to go to, which means you could be working 7 days a week straight through your entire reign if you're busy enough.
But that's what wrestlers did back in the day.
That's what wrestlers did back in the day, absolutely, but that's not what they do now.
No. They at least get a couple days off these days. But point is, he's willing to make the sacrifice, which is great. And they, you know, they've asked him, he's willing. But you have to wonder, do they recognize what's going on? Do they have an understanding of this isn't working? Because they did last year, and they made a change. You think they'll change this time?
I don't know if they can. I don't know. There's no money in the bank this year. They held on to Rollins until WrestleMania, and I think that was entirely intentional, because he literally was plan B. It's, okay, well, if Roman Reigns doesn't work out, we'll send Rollins down there, because Rollins has got the money in the bank, and we'll end this real quick. Because last year, they were in the same conundrum where Roman won the Rumble, and everybody booed the crap out of him. And that's really kind of, I think, where this started, was Roman won the Rumble.
Last year, and
nobody's gotten over it since, because everybody wanted Daniel Bryan to win it, and Daniel Bryan got eliminated extremely early in the Rumble.
To that point, Philly forgave him. They cheered him this year.
They did. They did cheer him this year.
They cheered him when he won his title. They went from booing to cheering. They forgave him. We forgave you, Roman. We forgave you.
Everybody else is a bunch of a-holes. But
it's mainly because they see they have other options. But
honestly,
that's not an excuse anymore.
It's not an excuse anymore. I think they are going to go full steam ahead at WrestleMania. I think they are going to put the title on him. The thing is they know that at least Hunter has a rematch option at some point if they absolutely have to use that. And there are other people that you can throw at Roman once he wins wins the title. The question is that what you want to do? Because it's, well, okay, we're going to give the title to Roman. We're going to take it pretty much right back on off him if this doesn't work out. That's not what you want to do, because this is going to be potentially his third title reign in 6 months.
Yeah, that's key right there.
And, okay, the first time he won it, yeah, everybody was really excited for him and we cheered him. And yeah. Then Sheamus came out and kicked him in the face and won the title. Second time, yay, he won the title. And then he got screwed at the Rumble in the Royal Rumble match because he lost it to Triple H.
The dawning of the Triple H movement.
Now he's going into WrestleMania, he's going one-on-one with Triple H for the title. You know there are going to be massive levels of shenanigans in this match, but in the end of the day, Roman Reigns is probably walking out with the title. Now you can't do a rematch with Hunter at Payback, I think, because I don't think Hunter's going to wrestle at Payback. So now you have Roman with his title, and it's who are you going to put him against in his first defense, and how long are you going to keep him as WWE champion.
Right.
I think at some point they just have to finally pull the trigger and deal with the booze and let Roman sink or swim on his own. And I think this is what this is going to be. Is it's, okay, well, we have literally taken our best shot at this. We have put you in a storyline with Vince McMahon himself and Triple H. You can't do any better than that unless it's Vince McMahon and The Undertaker. But Shane McMahon already got that. So we're going to put the title on you, kid, and we're going to see what happens. And it's up to you to, at this point, to do it because we've thrown our full weight behind you. We support you 100%. There's nothing else we can do.
Now, with all that said, a lot of people try to figure out what do you do with Roman Reigns. What WWE should do? Keep a babyface and make the last 2 years worth it. But you always ask the question, what if? And what if you turn Roman Reigns heel? And they talked about it on Sunday. Tim wrote an article. It's on PWMania.com. It's on WildTalkRadio.com. Right now, you can all take a read at it at some point.
And I know a lot of people don't feel that turning Roman Reigns' heel is a viable option. And I would agree in most cases that's correct. That turning a babyface heel for no reason is not what you want. But at this point, I think Roman is a face. If he cannot get over as a face, you have to do something. And they've tried for 2 years with him as a face. Has not worked. He's been slowly getting over. But for the most part, he's not as over as they want him to be. They want him to be John Cena level overness. And that's not the case with him. I still say they should have turned him heel the night after the Rumble last year when he got booted out of the building. You should have had him walk out and go, you know what? Screw you all, F you.
Yes.
But they didn't. They stayed the course with him. They kept him a babyface. They moved him through it. They got him through WrestleMania. They got him through the summer. And now we're back at WrestleMania this year. And he's coming in as your supposed top babyface. Nobody gives a crap. I shouldn't say nobody, but a lot of people don't give a crap. Which when you're in a stadium of 84,000 people, possibly going up to 100,000 people, that's a very, very loud crowd because you're going to have a lot of Europeans there. And if they decide they're going to boo the crap out of Roman Reigns, well, guess what? They're going to boo the crap out of Roman
Reigns.
Now,
like I said, we could turn heel. But what do you do? How do you turn him heel and what do you do? We've been dropping the phrase, badass assassin, this show. Because that's who Roman Reigns is. Or should be. Whether he's babyface or heel, he's the badass assassin, destroying people. What if you made this badass assassin a heel? And what if he let his own stable?
I'm in for it. I still think Roman is stronger when he's in a group because he's still learning. He's still growing as a performer. He's still trying to find himself as a performer. And being in a group helps him because he doesn't have to talk as much. It's not really relied upon him, even though he is the leader, too. And we're going to solve that. Because we've had this all planned out. He's not called upon as much to speak. He can rest on other people a little bit. Because what made the Shield great was you had, just to use the Shield as an example, you had Dean and Seth, who are very, very strong on the mic. And they cut the majority of the promos. And they were helping Roman get through the promos. You could tell that they were coaching him. They were helping him learn. Because he's not as good on the mic. He's not as strong.
No. He's not.
So whenever Roman Reigns spoke, it was impactful, it was important, and it was short. It was a longer diatribe. Seth or Dean would take that, and they would do that. And Roman would stand there and look intimidating and look badass. And that's really what you need Roman to do, is you need Roman to stand there and look intimidating and look badass. And that's not a slight against him. That's just what you need. because that's what works for him, is he has such a dialed-down personality that when he tries to dial it up, it doesn't really work. Partially because I think he doesn't really know how to dial up. He doesn't know what aspects of his personality to dial up. He's still trying to figure all that out. And I think the writers are trying to figure that out. And just nobody knows what to do. So until you get that going, it's why don't you surround him with a group? You're going to turn him heel. Surround him with a group. Make him the leader of the group. He's the WWE champion. He's the best in the industry. Pardon the phrase, he's the best in the world.
Oh my god, no you didn't. You mean you team up with no. Anyway.
No. And you have him surround himself with the best in the company. So, for example, Roman Reigns is born better, so he finds someone else who's born better in Charlotte Flair. Charlotte brings Daddy with her,
which solves the problem of Roman Reigns long-winded talking, because you put Ric Flair in the J.J. Dillon role of the Horseman, where he can hype them up. He can play heel, he can play hype man for Roman Reigns and Charlotte, and that way when Roman Reigns speaks, it's impactful. Just like when Charlotte speaks, it's more impactful. You let Ric Flair use his 50 years or 40 years, 50 years of wrestling experience help Roman Reigns.
Because it's really ultimately what Roman needs is a mouthpiece, but unfortunately the best mouthpiece in the industry is currently working for Brock Lesnar, and he's not going to leave Brock for Roman. So
because they already have a beast, and they don't need another one. So, yeah. It would look bad if he did. Anyway.
Now, who would you put in the Arn Anderson, Tully Blanchard role?
Well, we thought about this. We looked around and we figured, well, you need enforcers. You need a tag team. You need a really good tag team. And everyone's going to say, the New Day? No, they're not the best tag team. Some would argue these guys aren't the best tag team, but fundamentally, they are the best workers they probably have. You have Dash and Dawson, the Revival, the Mechanics. You bring them up from NXT, you pair them with Roman Reigns and Charlotte with Ric Flair. It's a new era type horseman stable, and you go from there.
And you basically have them run roughshod through WWE, and eventually they have their fall, but you use that as a way to help everybody kind of get over, because Charlotte struggles a little bit, Roman struggles a little bit, Dash and Dawson are going to need their way onto the main roster, and it just kind of helps them.
It establishes everyone as legit, because you have a guy, Ric Flair, doing a new version of Horseman Evolution, whatever you want to call it. And you just have Roman Reigns be the guy. Because you're getting rid of, if you get rid of the authority, and basically there really is no authority other than they have power. There's no stable. You need the top stable. You can use Roman Reigns and his crew as that heel lead stable. And everyone's like, oh my god, we can't have a heel champion. Why not?
I know the baby. Yeah, you can.
Why don't we?
They have one for years.
And we still, I know everyone wants the babyface champion. You'll get your babyface champion. Because they're not going to do this idea. But they could. You could. And then eventually, the babyface, Dean Ambrose, Seth Rollins, gets the belt off the heels, and then the heels have to fight their way back to the belt.
And you just create more tension and a better story that way. I mean, it's an idea.
It's not the perfect story, but it's an idea. It's a jumping off point.
Because the flip side to this is you have Roman form a face stable.
And that won't work.
I can totally see him walking out there in a suit and a tie with the sunglasses, with the title, his hair pulled back, looking all smug, Ric Flair doing his thing, Charlotte looking on, like, all of them standing there looking smug. I can see it. I can see it in my head. And people are booing the crap out of it.
And they eat it up.
Because you have, the important thing here is you have Ric Flair selling it. Because that's really, I think, what Roman needs help with, is just selling it. Because he's trying to, but he just can't close it. You need someone that knows how to do that. You need someone that's experienced with that. Who better than Ric Flair? I mean, come on.
There ain't nobody better than the Nature Boy Ric Flair.
And you use it as a way to get four young talents over. And eventually they split off and eventually they go do their own things. But once you have them all established, then they're able to stand on their own. I think part of Roman's problem is he came out of the Shield and they really didn't do anything to establish him.
They started to and then they got hurt. And then they had to rebuild him again after the Rumble.
Yeah, so it's he's kind of been stumbling a little bit because he's been, it's like they would start to get hurt. They would start to, and then he would vanish for a bit. I think he got hurt again because he had his ab injury, ulcer thing, and then he's had a couple injuries. I can't think of them
No, that's the only one he's had.
But he was out for something else. Or he was off TV for something else.
I don't remember off the top of my head.
Or they backed off of him or something. They had him rolling for steam and then he got injured. And then they started to build him back up for Mania and they got him built back up for Mania. And then you did the storyline with Rollins and Reigns kind of fell by the wayside for a little bit because they made Seth Rollins in that meantime. And you never really got the proper feud between Reigns and Rollins because that match is jinxed.
It's never going to happen.
Is never going to really happen because one of them always gets hurt. It's just completely jinxed. But you kind of lost Roman a little bit in that shuffle for a while. And then they pulled Roman back out. And I think part of that was intentional, was to sort of...
They put him with Bray and they had their feud for the summer. And
cool it down.
Cooled him down because, you know, they had to do something else. They weren't going back. There was only so many times Roman Reigns could fall short and not win the title. Because they weren't ready to put the title back or give it to him yet. Because they decided against it at WrestleMania 31. So they put him in a feud after with Big Show and then with Bray just to keep him away from the championship. Which was smart. Because he wasn't ready for the championship.
No, he wasn't.
And hopefully he's ready now.
I think he is ready now. A year ago when he faced Brock Lesnar, a lot of people, including us, said he really wasn't. Because we all saw that he needed to grow as a performer. And now he's had that growth. And he's had that improvement. And he's just gotten just that little bit better. And it's like, okay, now it's more believable. Because last year, it's like he was just coming out of the Shield. He had just won the Rumble. You didn't really know who Roman Reigns was at that point. We still really don't know who Roman Reigns is. But we know a little bit more. So it's kind of okay. But yeah, I think for me, if they could just, even as a face, if they could just find a way to emphasize, this is why I'm doing this, is for X reason. And you just hit that home. This is my reason for doing this. This is why I'm here. Whether it's money, whether it's power, whether it's for his family, for his daughter, whatever. You know, honestly, it's, if you want to put him over as a babyface, it's, I'm doing this for my family. I'm doing this for my daughter.
And then at WrestleMania, you have the daughter in the front row, have her celebrate with her father.
Because the thing is like, you know what? You wanted to get him over as a sympathetic babyface. You should have shown his daughter comforting him after WrestleMania last year.
Which they did 4 months later on the 24 show.
You should have shown her comforting him after Survivor Series.
They should show it on Raw, not just on the network. Because it's great on the network, but not everyone watches the network.
And I understand they don't want to expose it. But it's like even him being comforted by his family, where it's he gets screwed out of the title and he has this moment of weakness and they tell him, you're going to be okay. You're going to be fine. You're going to get up and you're going to fight another day and you're going to be fine. And he believes it and he says, you know what? You're right. I'm going to get up. I got knocked down. I'm going to get up. I'm going to dust myself off and I'm going to go back to work tomorrow and I'm going to work my way to that title. You do little moments like that because that makes him human, that makes him a three-dimensional character, where it's, you can relate to him. Because we all have bad days, we all get kicked down, we all get knocked down, and we all need that encouragement to get up, because sometimes some of us just don't have the strength to pick ourselves up. And to see someone like Roman Reigns, who's this big, tough, badass guy, need encouragement from either his family, or his daughter, or his wife, or whomever, that helps you relate, because like, yeah, when I get knocked down, I just need to pick myself up and keep going. And that's what draws you in. That's what drew people into John Cena, is John Cena did have those moments in the beginning where he would get knocked down and he would pick himself back up. But you would do little things like that to show his human side. And then eventually just kind of went away and Cena became Cena. But you can do that with Roman. And that's how you get people to connect with Roman. That's why people connect with Daniel Bryan, is Daniel Bryan had those moments. Dean Ambrose has those moments.
Let's see if Roman Reigns can get those moments.
But those are just our opinions. This was not meant to slam Roman. This was not meant to complain about Roman. It's
Because we didn't complain about Roman totally.
It's more the booking of Roman.
Yeah.
That's, I think, where the problem lies for both Rock and myself, is just the way he's booked. It's not him personally. Like I said, I think he's a great person. I think he has a lot of talent. I think he has a lot of potential. It's just getting it to come out. And if they could do that, if they could find the mixture that works for him, where it connects to the wide, broader audience as opposed to a core group of fans, then they will hit gold. So, but I say we take our second break of the evening. What do you say?
Let's do it.
So, when we come back, you Roadblock and Tweet of the Week and NXT. So you don't want to miss it. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. And we'll be right back.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com. And you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
Godfather of Extreme, Rob Parks. Tune in every Saturday, midnight-ish, for CB Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
There is only one place to go for all the latest wrestling action figure reviews, and that's Wrestling Figure Wednesday, with new episodes every Wednesday and Friday. Wrestling Figure Wednesday provides you with some of the most intricate reviews of the latest wrestling action figures from both WWE and TNA. And if that's not enough, look out for some exclusive wrestling action figure reviews that you won't see anywhere else. The only place to find these wrestling action figure reviews is at youtube.com/MVG1211.
Hey gang, this is Tara, formerly known as Victoria from WWE, and I just want to say Matt Goldberg is a genius.
Make sure you check out Wrestling Figure Wednesdays today.
Do you feel a little bit empty inside after The Rack goes off the air on Thursday nights? Well, don't fret, because The Rack has a little something extra for you, in the form of The Rack Extra. Join us as we review the weekly happenings with your favorite Total Divas. From start to finish, we give you our reactions to all the relationship drama, the infighting, and all the trips to the plastic surgeon's office. Join us as we get all up in that Kool-Aid of the Total Divas with The Rack Extra, weekly right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Trust me, it's simply dabomb.com.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you by our friends over at Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. Go to youtube.com/MBG1211 for all your stop-motion wrestling action figure needs. And hello to the fine folks over at Gerwick.net. A big thanks to all their support as well. And now we're going to have a little fun and do Tweet of the Week.
Well, I
used to be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
All right, Kevin Owens. Yes, I have tweets this week because people were funny.
Ha ha.
So Kevin Owens, a bunch of these are Kevin Owens and Shane McMahon. So somebody tweeted, Kevin, make sure you lose. You, as in letter U. To which he replies, I can't, I'm not with you. Somebody else tweets him and goes, those with glass houses shouldn't throw rocks, Mr. Owens. And Kevin replies, my house is made of bricks and wood and stuff. Yours is made of blocked.
I saw that, that was good.
If you could wrestle anyone dead or alive, who would it be? And Kevin would take the dead guy. He would win swiftly and easily. I'm curious as to just how many times a day at Owens fights receives tweets calling him a loser. LOOSER. I'm willing to bet it's a lot. Kevin goes, yes, it appears I am quite loose indeed, according to a lot of idiots on here. Kevin gets around.
Yes, he does.
And somebody sent a gif of Kevin Owens pile driving somebody on the floor and said, just do this to Gina S. You will be... Or I guess it's, just do this to Gina S. You will be gone in your way to KO Mania. I'm not sure if that's English or not.
No.
But, and Kevin goes, but Gina S. never did anything to me. Somebody tells Kevin, you don't deserve that IC title. If anything, you deserve to be inducted into the Hall of Fame by @TheDeanAmbrose. And Kevin goes, you're wrong. Also, that's Mark Henry's thing. Moron.
Saw that one, too. That was good.
Shane McMahon, you're going to hit me. I'm going to miss. I think I need to rethink this strategy. Hashtag promo problems. Hashtag he's even more terrifying up close.
Which way did he go? Oh, oh, which, oh, way? Oh. Which way did he go? Oh, oh, oh. I gotta get that promo for Mania. Yeah. Anyway.
I just love that he's poking fun at himself. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Kevin Owens. Neville breaks his ankle, then spin kicks Jericho and hits a perfect Hurricane Rana. Gravity may have forgotten him, but toughness sure didn't. And finally, this week on SmackDown, AJ Styles will learn that getting in my way on the road to KO Mania is a big mistake, just like his haircut.
Ooh.
I just love that Kevin Owens rags on AJ Styles' hair so much. It's amazing.
He did it on SmackDown, too.
There's nothing else for Kevin to do other than insult AJ Styles' hair.
He said you and Renee have the same hair.
It's just awesome.
It is. Is that all you got?
That's all I got.
Not SportsCenter, right? Highlights from the Johnny Manziel era with the Browns. Posted the picture. No image available. ESPN, fake ESPN, fake SportsCenter. ESPN will hold a moment of silence at the beginning of tonight's SportsCenter to honor Johnny Manziel. In case you're aware, he was released. John Gonzalez. Elway went from another Super Bowl to taking calls from Howie Roseman. Someone should take John's shoelaces and sharp objects just to be safe. Tom Brady's ego. What's worth in signing Brock Osweiler? Not signing Brock Osweiler? Trading for Mark Sanchez. We go diving into the phone of the text messages Broncos GM John Elway got from Not Sports Center. It's a trade for Mark Sanchez. Roger Goodell. I'll need you to report for a random urine test ASAP. You must be high. Peyton Manning. For the 3,425th time. I am not coming back, especially now. Stop calling. Eagles, you actually gave us something for Mark Sanchez? Wow. LOL. E. Sanders, I guess I better learn how to intercept passes intended for DBs? Derek Thomas. Yeah, Demetrius Thomas. Mark Sanchez, are you serious? What was he, Plan Z? Brock Osweiler, guess you should have thrown in a few more mil in my offer, eh? Laugh my ass off. Taking shots. Fake Sports Center. Mark Sanchez officially a Bronco. Coming soon, the Mile High Butt Fumble.
Yes.
Samoa Joe tweeted, listening to Black Ice poetry and refocusing life priorities. If De La Soul track plays, I've officially fallen into the earliest 90s time warp. Christopher Daniels replied, if you see me there, please tell me to skip the bleach job and go straight to shaving the dome. Thanks. Fake Sports Center. Russell Wilson is finally Fake sportsman. Russell Wilson is finally engaged to Sierra. Now maybe he can get laid. Fake ESPN. Ben Simmons lost by 33 points tonight. He's getting an early start for his career as a member of the 76ers. Keep it 5-star. Luke Harper getting tossed around by Brock Lesnar at WWE Roadblock. Help me! Bray Wyatt. Nah, fam, you good? Hashtag Brock versus Wyatt's Eden Styles. I like Sami Zayn to lose. For no reason in particular. No one's business. Move along. Hashtag WWE Roadblock. Shit wrestlers thing. CM Punk chant is like herpes. Pops up when you don't want it, and there seems to be no cure for it. Parentheses, cure. Is Punk coming back? WWE ref 123. Hashtag gulp. And puts a picture of Bayley, him, and Sasha. And then a picture of Bayley's action figure, Sasha's action figure, and him as an action figure. Sasha replied, who's your favorite? He goes, who, me? Embarrassed emoticons. Your friend Melinda tweeted, poor at AJ Styles org is having flashbacks of being in a paternity angle again. Hashtag Claire Lynch. Christopher Daniels replied, if this is true, I swear I had nothing to do with this one.
Yes.
Which she replied, uh-huh, getting kickbacks from Maury Povich again? LOL.
Yes.
So Sasha Banks is part of the Mick Foley WrestleMania Dream Vacation, which has ended. And she gave up a breakfast. She'll be with the winner. Bayley says, oh my god, I entered. How do you like your omelets? She goes, Sasha replied, egg white omelet with feta, onion and turkey, please. Hashtag share the dream. Hashtag breakfast with the boss. Someone tweeted Mick Foley, I just looked and I'm blocked. I don't even know. This was blocked by Kevin Owens. Mick Foley replied, I think Fight Owens fight blocks innocent civilians in the dead of night just for the fun of it. He's sadistic.
Yeah, he is.
Breaking news from Mick Foley. Breaking news, Fight Owens fight has agreed to insult and block our sweepstakes winner. Enter now. Christopher Daniels. I once offered Steve Austin an appletini. He then offered me one of two ways out of his house. The front door or the front window. Happy 316 day. Someone tweeted, Do you hear how everyone boos you if you win the WWE Championship? I'll break all my fingers. You're a terrible wrestler at WWE Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns replied, looks like your sex life is going to struggle. Hashtag fool.
Someone to get some ice for that burn.
That's a sick burn. Speaking of burn, I sent you a picture. Because it goes along with this tweet. Because Sasha put a picture where she sort of looks like a certain individual that's hot and spicy, right?
She does.
So the person tweeted, looks like Curry Man finally found his Curry Woman. Daniels replied, Sasha Banks is greater than Curry Man. I bet she doesn't know anyone countless sums of money like the King of Spice does to me. Tweet of the week. Well,
please tell me Sasha replied to that.
All she did was reblog it.
Damn it!
I went looking for it.
Genius.
So now we're going to go through NXT here really quick.
Okay.
So Sami Zayn talked about his match with Samoa Joe being a war. He said, have you ever battled 300 pounds in a moment? It's not fun. And then talks about how NXT TakeOver Dallas is going to be huge. It's going to be special. It's going to be a lot of awesomeness. William Regal comes out and says, Sami, you deserve something special. And you're going to get something special. Then we hear some static on the screen. It's the newest NXT signee, Shinsuke Nakamura. The
crowd loses their shit.
Who says, I will see you in Dallas. Shinsuke Nakamura.
I'm excited for this. I'm really excited for this. Sami looked ready to have a joygasm.
He did. He did.
I mean, this is going to be good.
It's going to be really good. We have the Hype Bros versus Crawford and Dawkins. Hype Bros dominated. Simple.
Yeah.
Simple to the point. Backstage, Emma and Dana Brooke were walking around. They ran to Deanna Purrazzo. I think that's her name.
Mm-hmm.
They ran into a girl who got beat up by Asuka. Emma says the evolution won't stop. And, well, she says, I want to stop it tonight. And Dana replies, we're taking this seriously. So no pat on the head for you. Psych. Pats the girl on the head. Which led to Deanna versus Emma. It was another Emma showcase.
It's a good match.
It was. Emma was in control for most of the match. Deanna would fight back, but she would get cut off repeatedly. There was a nice big crossbody corner. Deanna would fight back a little bit, but eventually got locked in the Emma lock for the win. The Emmalution continues.
Hey!
It was announced that next week it'll be Asuka versus Emma.
That should be fun.
We got Tommaso Ciampa versus Jesse Sorensen. Ciampa was in control for most of the match until Sorensen hit a big dropkick. Ciampa would take back control, where Trapping starts his head into the turnbuckle, just hitting a big knee, which was nice, and then locked in the armbar for a win. It was a solid match.
It was a very solid match. Very entertaining match.
Then we got to the best part of the show.
Yeah.
Nia Jax and Eva Marie taking on Bayley and Asuka. A few things on this one. Number one, Corey Graves fawning over Eva. Perfect.
Perfect.
Want to know why?
Why?
Because then his reaction when Asuka showed up. It's like, oh crap. Oh crap, she's gonna die. She's gonna die. Oh my god. Eva, get away. Eva, no. Shit, go away, Eva. Ouch. Crap. It was perfect.
Yeah, that's true.
It was perfect. Like, he's so in love with Eva, and then he sees Asuka, and it's like, Asuka,
She's gonna die!
She's gonna die. Oh no. Phillips, no. Ken, why would you do that? That was great. The commentary on this was great. Corey Graves, awesome. Selling it the entire time. There was a point where Eva slapped Asuka, and Corey's like, why would you do that?
She's like, just get out of the ring!
And they made some mention sort of like she's a crocodile and that she's gonna get killed, get eaten alive.
No, what it was they were calling Eva a baby deer and they were calling Asuka a crocodile.
Yeah.
And Phillips was having so much fun by going, oh, the baby deer, the crocodile's gonna get the baby deer! And Corey Graves was so offended. He's like, no, this is not the right time! And Tom Phillips is like, this is the perfect time!
They are perfect together, I should just say. They are the best announced team right now.
It's so amazing!
Because you actually have a heel face duo, and it's perfect. And it works for NXT.
And they loathe each other.
They do. It's awesome. It's like, Phillips, no! Why would you say that, Phillips? Anyway, good match. Nia with missile leg drop, hit Eva with it. So Bayley. Asuka with a kick. Bayley the belly. Pinfall. Asuka, Bayley win.
This is a great main event.
But it wasn't the main event. But before we continue on to other matches, Regal comes out and says, Bayley sets the standard for what the champion should be in NXT. Asuka has come and elevated the vision. And that takeover, the new number one contender for the women's championship, is Asuka.
Oh yeah. I can't wait to see that.
It's going to be good.
It's going to be fantastic.
So Austin Aries did his first interview, from an undisclosed location. I guess it was home. He said he was excited to make his NXT debut until Corbin ruined it. Said Regal apologized, but he shouldn't have. Aries said Corbin should just have asked for advice instead of attacking him. Aries said he has been a champion wherever he's been. Says he's earned everything he's gotten, and nothing has been handed to him. But the only thing that's handed to you in this business is a lesson, which he will give at TakeOver. Says it's good to be good, but it'll be bad to be you.
Yes.
Good promo from Austin Aries.
Very nice promo from Austin Aries.
Within our main event, number one contenders match, American Alpha, Vaudevillains. Good match, but it was, again, your standard typical Gable-Jordan match till the finish.
It was, and like I said, the women's match was a way better main event than what this was, and that's not to slight the Vaudevillains or American Alpha, but I was sitting here watching it, and I was like, oh man, that was fantastic, that was great, and then they announced Bayley versus Asuka, and I was like, oh, that's a great way to close out the show. We've got two matches set for Dallas. That's awesome. And then I looked at the clock, and it's only 8:45. Oh, crap. There's another 15 minutes left on the show. Well, okay.
One, the best of Vaudevillains has looked in a while. Still, mm-hmm. Still English needs to eat a sandwich or two.
Or seven.
Gordon. Gable and Jordan were out in front early. After the break, Vaudevillains took control. Gable made the hot tag. There was a nice rolling German suplex spot, which is great. Sit-down powerbomb by English for a two count. He started getting mad. Jordan gets tagged in. English didn't say it. Elevated belly-to-back suplex. Your winners. A new number one contenders, the American Alpha.
They had matching singlets. It was adorable.
Yes, they do. It's kind of the thing now.
But overall, a good NXT.
Good NXT, and we now know your top four matches at the NXT TakeOver? Because we got Samoa Joe and Finn Balor for the NXT title, Bayley and Asuka, Aries and Corbin, American Alpha and Dash and Dawson, and Sami Zayn and Shinsuke. That's TakeOver. We have, unless they add a couple more matches, that's TakeOver.
TakeOver's going to be phenomenal. If you have tickets and you're going, I hate you. I'm so jealous.
But enjoy it.
But enjoy the crap out of it, because it's going to be amazing.
With that said, we wanted to throw in, really quickly, our highlights from Roblox.
Yes.
So, go ahead.
Is there, are we going to talk about the whole show, or are we just talking about the highlights?
At this point, we're talking about highlights, because I don't have any notes. I never took any notes for the show.
You slacker!
Anyway, the one of the real highlights of the show was Charlotte and Natalya.
Oh my god! This was a return match from when the two went in NXT. I think this was better than the first go-round, just because they just pulled out all the stops in this match.
And because Charlotte is a much better performer than she was a year and a half ago.
Yeah. And Natty made her look like a million bucks.
Oh, yeah, she did. Yeah, she did. This was a great match. They got, 15 minutes on the show?
Mm-hmm.
It was really, really well done. Really well done.
Props to both ladies. We were not ready for Natty's shirt.
No, we weren't. But again, we weren't ready for it on Tall Divas either.
No, we weren't.
But they had a great match, great finish, awesome match. The other highlight, Dean Ambrose and Triple H in the main event. Great old-school style match. He sold for Dean Ambrose. He put Dean Ambrose over a lot in this match, including the false finish, where it's like 1, 2, 3, but his foot was underneath the rope slightly, which means Dean Ambrose did not win the title. Dean made a mistake. Jumped off the barricade, onto a table, Hunter move, ran into the ring, got pedigreed, and that was the finish. It was a really, really good match.
This was fantastic on a lot of levels. Hunter and Dean just went out there and put on a clinic for everybody. They took their time. They built the match very slowly. They really got the fans invested in it. These two have phenomenal chemistry together. I need about 7 more of these matches, just so everybody's aware. But this was just really, really, really well done all the way around, because it's, you think about it and it's, oh, well, this is a throwaway show. It's really a throwaway match. It's not going to lead to anything. They really could have half-assed it, and they didn't. They went out there and did their absolute best, and the way that they told the story in it was Dean just took Hunter to his absolute limit, and Dean at one point actually did have the title won, except for the fact that his foot was under the bottom rope, and the fans about lost it. Like, even I was sitting here, I was like, did they actually do it? And it was like, no, his foot was under the rope. Oh, crap. So they gave you that moment with Dean Ambrose of, oh my god, did he actually win the title? Then it's, no, he didn't. And like Rock said, he made one mistake. Hunter took advantage and retained his title, but Hunter wasn't exactly walking out overly confident.
No, he wasn't. No, he really wasn't.
He had a hard time getting out. Dean laid there. It was just, if you want a good match, if you want a prime example of what a wrestling match is, go watch that. Because that is a wrestling match in its purest form, and it was amazing.
Other matches on the show, New Day beat the League of Nations. We saw the debut of Budo Cereal. The Revival beat Enzo Amore and Colin Cassidy, which they need to be up on the main roster because they are over.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Jericho was able to heal the crowd with a couple of phrases. Number one,
Canada stinks and Toronto is the anus.
And number two,
typical Canadians, always a little step behind the rest of the world.
Thank you for those gems, Chris. We will never forget you for that.
He beat Jack Swagger on that night. Sami Zayn beat Stardust.
Which is actually a really underrated match, because it was actually very, very good. Just nobody cared because it was Stardust. But it was a very, very good match.
And then there was Brock Lesnar and the Wyatt family.
Oh god.
Poor Luke Harper. He paid for our sins.
Luke Harper died for our sins on Saturday night. It was fantastic to watch. I will say, I want a full-blown match between Harper and Lesnar. I kind of actually want the full-blown feud, because I think if they have it be more of an even-sided contest and less of a squash match, which is really what this was, I would be on board for that.
Here's the thing with Brock. If it's not a pay-per-view, all he does is suplex, which is fine because that's all he's there for. If it's a pay-per-view, he'll do a full-blown match. But if it's a house show or a live event like this, live special, it's all about the suplex. Because he's in, he's out, that's it. Because it's not a full match. Full matches are what he gets paid for. this. He comes. He suplexes. He goes home.
But these two could have a really, really good match together.
That they could. That they could.
We saw Bray Wyatt pretty much managing on the outside. Like we talked about earlier in the show, his back is giving him issues. So WWE made the decision at the last minute to put Luke in place of Bray. Which is really smart because you're not... It's just kind of coincidental that it's smart because you're not giving away Bray and Brock. And you can build to that in the future when Bray's ready for Brock. And like which he was now, but...
Like I said, if it was because it was this type of special, it wasn't going to be a real match, Bray would have got destroyed. Now he'll have a fighting chance when they do an actual match.
And that's worth Bray Wyatt not wrestling for.
It is.
Just saying.
Quickly go over and pick them. I was 4-0. You were 3-1. The Magic 8-Ball was 1-3.
Hey, we beat the 8-Ball!
And I beat you. Ha ha.
Again. Do you feel good about yourself?
I do. I do. I feel very good about myself. It'll probably be the last one for a while because we're going to go into really serious ones now with TakeOver and WrestleMania. Probably going to kick my ass.
Probably.
Yeah. But I say that does it for the evening.
I say that does it too. So I want to say thank you to everybody for listening. You have plugs.
Then I do. Check out the Rec Extra Told Eva Season 5, Episode 9, now available at RockRadioShow.com. Follow the show on Twitter at RockRadioShow, Facebook.com/RockRadioShow. Saturday night, midnight edition is CB Radio, The Weird, The Wacky, The Unusual. CB Radio Live on Facebook and Twitter. CBRadioLive.com, #BlameRob when a celebrity dies. Sunday night, assume it's Russell Talk Radio with Tim Stein, Mason Omega, 10 p.m. Eastern, talking stuff. At WTR Sunday night on Facebook and Twitter. WrestleTalkRadio.com to keep up in the conversation of the all-time greatest. Monday Night Raw post-show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern, as we recap everything goes down on Monday Night Raw. We'll be back next Thursday night for another edition of Rack, 10 p.m. Eastern, which may get a little hardcore. We'll see what happens. You can follow me on Twitter at WildTalkRadio, Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. And remember, it's very important. Join the Facebook group, Facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Get this show on iTunes, search Rack Radio Show. Get the network on iTunes, search Wild Talk Radio Network. As always, tune in radio and Stitcher, search Wild Talk Radio Network.
You can follow me on Twitter at Lynn Sward, LANSWRD. You can go to my website, segwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/Lynn Sward, same as the Twitters. And don't forget to check out our very fine sponsors, PWMania.com, TNAsylum.net, Wrestling Figure Wednesdays, youtube.com/MBG1211, and Gerwick.net. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay. You've been listening to the Rack St. Patrick's Day special, and we will see you next week, where, as he said, we might be getting a little hardcore. Till then, bye!